jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. 836 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Joining me in studio today, I have my good friend and my new friend. I got my good friend, Nicole Stacy, I've known for years and years and years, who all too often chooses Brent Lane over me. I take that personally.
That is not true.
No, it's 100% true. That's, you know, well, you go morning. Do cat country and you don't
I'm
come here.
To
I mean, just
be
saying.
Here. Thought we were going to do a wrap-off this morning. I'm really looking forward to it.
That would be the most awkward thing we could possibly do. So Nicole works with Visit Pensacola, of course, and is a fabulous representative for them. This is now 3 days in a row that I've had interactions with you. It's kind of cool.
Lucky
actually.
You.
Yeah, exactly. And Diane Mack, who I'm just getting to know. And, of course, Diane used to do the gang with Brandon Rather back in the day all the time.
Oh, we had the best time, yeah. Yeah. Good
morning. I got that to live up to. Okay, great. Yeah. She is a former city councilwoman. She's also chairing the Pensacola City Redistricting Commission right now. Diane, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, interesting week. Let's start with the most recent and most personal, of course, to you, Nicole. The Beach Show Part 2.
Yeah, the best news of the week.
Exactly. The fact that we're having an Eric show this year for homecoming and that it's going to be at the beach. This is going to be... I mean, it's a little bit of a logistical challenge for SRIA, right?
Yes, yes. So we got the phone call. Well, not we. They got the phone call, you know, just about a week ago. But as you heard the captain say, everyone was all hands on deck. Yes, yes, yes. Let's do this. So this was a no-brainer for us. We want to do all that we can. And we weren't definitely not going to let our Blue Angels end their season, not at home. This was really important to us. So the Island Authority, you know, Robbie Schrock, she could do this show in her sleep. So we're here. We're excited. We're going to do it. Visit Pensacola is really excited to be a part of it, more so than we usually are. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really looking forward to it. I mean, we're going to have a homecoming show, and it's going to be on the beach. The weather is going to be...
Oh, that's my
aren't
favorite
you so
part.
Excited
that's
we're not going part. To sweat?
Yes. Perfect
in November.
Time. Perfect time. Yeah.
I was actually thinking about it, and there have been times where on base for the October or November show, it's cold.
Yes.
Like, it is... I mean, it's wear a jacket or two or three layers cold. I mean, I know I'm from the Midwest, but still. And so the beach could be not just not hot, but... You know, this is jeans and sweater, potentially.
I'm so excited.
Which is so exciting. I love the idea. So we're looking forward to that. The other thing, you guys have seafood festivals coming up next weekend. Is that right?
Seafood festivals coming up. You know, and really this is kind of the kickoff of all of our fall festivals. So seafood festivals, Summerfest is this weekend. All kinds of stuff. Fufu festivals coming up. So I love it in Pensacola when you get to the fall season because we really are the festival season of the South. It's so much fun because you can walk, you can get outside, you can enjoy everything that our community is about, and we are about some festivals and events. And so I'm just looking forward to everyone being able to get downtown, get to the beach, enjoy all the things that we've got going on.
And I will second that motion.
Absolutely. You know, it is, I will tell you, okay, so I love that we're having the show. I love that it's going to be at the beach as opposed to not having it at all, obviously.
Right.
There was a part of me, I got to be honest with you, that thought, I love the traffic not being a problem on the base. I mean, we have to be honest. The bridge beach traffic is for the air show is, I mean, it's a rare problem to have in November. But,
right.
You know, it will be a problem. The one thing about the base show that is a particular advantage is everybody gets on, everybody finds parking easily, everybody goes home. It's simple.
Right.
We're going to have, that's not going to be the case for the homecoming show. But We'll still take it.
Yeah, you know, and I think, too, we were seeing some comments on social about people being a little bit upset that it wasn't on the base, and we understand that. And, you know, just like Lucky said yesterday, that we want it to be on the base.
Absolutely.
We absolutely want it to be back on the base. This was not meant for us to take it away
right.
from the base. So we're just here to actually allow things to happen because we don't want it to not happen, just like you said.
It was going
to
be this or not at all, and
right.
obviously. So, Diane, you have been working on the Redistricting Commission for the City of Pensacola, among other things, I know. But that's something you've been working on. And I know probably we can't talk too much about that because, you know, you're part of a board, right? You're part of a group that makes decisions.
A commission, right, right. And there are Sunshine Law considerations, certainly, if other commission members were listening in and I opined on something that we haven't actually worked on or voted on. But, you know, I can talk about some factual stuff, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of... And it looks, districting.
Yeah, and you know, your charge obviously is to find the districts that properly align with the population as the population changes and grows. And you know, it's a challenge because you got to think about everything from what just the numbers to potential voter bases to you tell me. I mean, it's your job to look at this stuff. What is
sure.
the task exactly?
Well, and the task is quite well defined in the 2010 city charter, and there are five very pointed criteria, and in priority order, what the commission has to do in looking at the numbers. And of course, the reason we're doing this is that the population increased, and so the seven districts of the city of Pensacola do not have even spread of population, and some are, you know, over the norm, some are under the norm, and we've got to try to even that out. So what do we have to consider as we do this? First, equal in population, and the deviation cannot exceed 5% average.
Okay.
That's it. Nobody can be more than 5% under or 5% over, and we try to get that as close to zero as possible.
That's interesting because that's the number that I know the counties have been talking about, but nobody seems to have a clear guidance for the counties in doing their redistricting. It's nice to see the city charter has delineated this is the number, you can't exceed that, but obviously the target is zero deviation.
Right, exactly, and we'll never get that, but we'll get close.
Close, right.
So then the second one is contiguous territories. We can't have a pocket here and a pocket there, though I will tell you my own district too, because there are parts of the county that
yes.
separated. We do actually have a portion of District 2 that doesn't touch the other part of District 2. And you know, I was on this commission 10 years ago, and we looked at trying to fix that, and there just was no way to fix it equitably. So the next one is, this one is weird, aggregate length of boundaries as short as possible. In other words, try not to string them up into
okay.
skinny things. You know, try to make it as rounded as possible. But because we have Escambia Bay,
yeah.
we are naturally more vertical than round, square, horizontal districts. So,
well, and you said, like you said, the Escambia County boundary creates additional wrinkles there. So you've
it
got
does.
Water messing up the ability to make that short, you know, circumference, basically, and the same thing for the county boundary interferes with that as well. Fascinating. What else?
Okay. Then we've always got to coordinate lines for various public offices and precincts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dave Stafford helps us a lot because it would be nice if we didn't mess up the precincts. And we've also got to coordinate precincts between school board and ECUA and the county and all of that. Okay. And then there's
again, you don't
yeah.
want, like, if I'm a neighbor, you don't want me and the guy across the street voting in the same city council, but then voting in different Escambia County Commission or different, you know, school board, which can happen.
Exactly.
ECUA, I think, follows the county commission, but still, you know, just trying to be kind to people in making that not be as confusing as it could be.
And try to be logical and practical about it. And then finally, as far as the charter goes, equal and effective representation as per the U.S. Constitution and general
mm-hmm.
law. In addition to that, the Florida League of Cities has given us three really important best practices to follow. One, don't dilute minority voting strength. Follow census blocks.
Mm-hmm.
That comes from the U.S. Census. And preserve communities of interest. And in our area, that means neighborhood associations. Try to keep all neighborhood associations each neighborhood association within the same district.
Oh, that makes sense. I hadn't thought about that, but
yeah.
that certainly makes sense.
Yeah.
So now the city doesn't have a legal mandate like the county does for District 3, where you have a majority-minority representation district. There's nothing required like that, right, specifically?
As I recall, no, there is no legal, but there is the practice of many years that we, you know, and as you see, it's a best practice in terms of the Florida League of Cities. And I guess it really comes under that last charter item equal and effective representation.
Right, which is trying to draw boundaries that in the end produce at least two, theoretically, you know, black city council member seats, and that's typically what we have. So.
Well, it is, but for a long time we had three, districts right. 5, 6, and 7, but with the census 10 years ago, District 6, with all the development downtown, there was no way to maintain that as a minority-majority district.
Oh, that predates me here, so I didn't realize that District 6 used to be a black district. Interesting. Longtime friend Nicole Stacy. I won't say old, you're young. But a longtime friend Nicole Stacy, new friend Diane Mack, who was often on the gang with Brandon Rather back in the day. So great to have you guys here in studio with me. I know you want to talk about this, so we're going to go ahead and do it. We got football again.
Oh, yes.
I wasn't sure what he was going to say. I was like, oh, gosh.
Diane, by the way, in case. So we all have different things on. Diane is wearing a War Eagle shirt. She got an Auburn shirt on. I have Cardinals gear on today because it's near the end of the season and we need to win all these games. I got a Wainwright jersey on today. Nicole doesn't care about sports, so she's not wearing anything like that.
I'm in neutral today.
You're in neutral. All right. So football, man, how excited are we to get football back, Diane?
So excited. Yeah. You know, because there's a greater Pensacola Auburn alumni club. Now, I'm not an alumna, but our grandson goes to Auburn. So okay. I'm an adopted Auburn person.
Without the grandson part. You know, when we moved here, I decided I had to adopt a local team of some kind.
Yeah.
And for various reasons that I won't get into right now, Auburn wound up being the one. So.
Oh, I love you, Brandon.
Well, yes. So my producer at the time was a big FSU fan, so it couldn't be FSU. Dodged a bullet.
Right.
I knew from early on it couldn't be Alabama. Sorry, y'all. But so Auburn seemed like the pick. They weren't at their peak right now, so I wasn't picking them for, you know, easy reasons.
That's right.
So, Nicole. Yes. I don't know who your college football team is.
Well.
Sorry.
I am an alumni of the reigning national champions.
Okay, I know who this is then. All right.
Thank you very much. Go Argos.
I see. Gotcha. That makes sense.
So, UWF, because obviously.
Right.
But if I had to pick an SEC team, I am a Gator girl.
Okay. Aww. I can live with
through
that.
Through and through.
I have a lot of friends.
Go Gators.
The Florida fans. That's fair enough.
They're orange and blue, no offense. They're a little brighter, a little more vibrant.
Well, so my Illinois colors were navy and orange, and Auburn colors are navy and orange.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was easy. Easy conversion to make. Drew, you look like you're itching to get in on this because we got football starting with tomorrow?
Yes.
Is that right? The UWF plays tomorrow, right?
UWF will be on ESPN Pensacola at noon. We'll have a pregame with Will Kennedy at 11:30.
Okay,
so
and we play, who do we, I have been
McNeese
in a total
State.
Bubble.
We play McNeese State, who are D1 as well, and UWF, I mean, being number one in the country in Division II, they could actually go on the road and get that win.
I hear we're having trouble getting games. Like, that's one of the challenges Pete Shinnick is running into, is we're too good at D2, and that, you know, obviously we're not a D1 school, and so finding anybody in Division II that's willing to play us, so that's kind of a fascinating problem to have.
Yeah, well, and the big game of the year is probably Valdosta State at the end. I guess the biggest one of the year. So that's going to be the one to wrap up the regular season and then hopefully go into the playoffs, and then they can go on to repeat as national champions again.
And it's really exciting that they're going to play their first game at the home field on September 11th.
Yeah, right.
So we're really excited about that.
That's great. That's an amazing venue. I know early on there was a lot of conversation about how can we get UWF, you know, to a real stadium on their campus. And I said from the beginning, I said, no, this is good. This is good for the community. It's good for, because UWF is, the more we can have them downtown, the more we can have them a part of the Pensacola life, the better, as opposed to being a little bit geographically separated, you know, up north of Nine Mile. I've always thought it's great to have them downtown, and I hope it never changes. And, you know, no offense, I don't want a stadium on the campus. I want what we've got right now.
Yeah, I think the connectivity between what the Historic Trust is doing, us playing football downtown, and just all of the ways as a part of the Alumni Association that we're involved within the community, there's just so much leverage there. And I think you're right, but it's exciting to know that we're going to play a big game at the home field.
I know.
So it's exciting to get on campus as an alumni and see football there.
Absolutely. One of the other big announcements that happened this week, in fact, just happened yesterday, and I haven't seen, I got to check my email and see if I've had anything come in, but I've heard a rumor that you know, rumors you got to be careful about, but I've heard a rumor that maybe even as early as today, we might get a visit announcing the monoclonal antibody therapy site. But we did have Eric Gilmore, the director of public safety, yesterday morning. Commissioner Bender said, hey, go ask DEM if we can get one of these because we need one here. We got about 100 people getting it every day at the hospitals. We need 300, so we need a site. We need help. And so he went and asked, and apparently they said yes. So we're going to be getting a monoclonal antibody therapy site stood up by the state here in Pensacola, hopefully soon. This is great news, right?
I have to plead ignorance. I've been involved in so much else. I don't really know that much about the though I read the story this morning, but
You mean you listened to the story on the radio?
No. Sorry, Brad.
All right, Diane, you're killing me now.
I am killing you. Yeah, I'm a reader type person.
You know what? Can I tell you? I am too.
Yeah.
Frankly, I would rather always read my news. I know this is terrible for a radio guy to say, but just for me, because I can do it fast and I can read a lot. You know, instead of listening to somebody. I mean, this is my job is to tell the news. I hope I'm good enough to overcome that. But you know, I'm the same way. I like to read the news. Are you a reader, a listener, or a watcher, Nicole?
I listen.
I appreciate that.
And watch.
Where do you listen?
I listen right here.
And also, the Cat Country.
Well, yes.
Okay. Good friends. Nicole, for those of you who don't know, our sister station, Cat Country 98.7, she fills in sometimes.
I do.
And does a fantastic job at
Thank you.
So it's very good. So, yeah, you excited about this site getting stood up here?
I am. I'm really excited. It's going to be fun.
I love when I found a topic where, like, we're done.
No, yes. It's going to be exciting here because I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about a different site. I was
what were you
checked
thinking?
Out for a second. I am excited because I think the more that we can create awareness and getting people the help they need and getting this thing to slow down, the better we will all be. I think that means more events, more festivals, more people can get back to normal life.
Yeah.
And that is, as a girl who's as extroverted as I am and loves to travel and loves to be out and about, I am here for it.
You know, I was just thinking about this morning that monoclonal antibody therapy is one of these things that is weirdly not contentious. Like, everything around COVID is a fight, it seems like. It's a fight over masks. It's a fight over the vaccine. It's a fight over schools. It's a fight over everything is like so, and people are so angry about all of it. And suddenly monoclonal antibody therapy, I posted the breaking news last night, hundreds of shares and comments and likes and just all positive. Like, nobody's even remotely upset at this, which I'm like, how did we find that sweet spot? That's
right.
Pretty good. Did you watch the county commission meeting last night? Oh, my God.
All right, so fess up. I never watch those.
It's my job to watch them. You know?
Well, you know,
it's my job, too.
Of course. Well, just as Nicole said, you know, the city, you know, she's so involved with the county that the city is something she needs to learn about. And I am so focused on the city, I really don't know the county government business that much.
I understand that. And, you know, I follow all of it as much as I can. I mean, all the meetings, major meetings, but, you know, there are still things. I mean, I wish I could watch more, which is a little bit perverse as much as I do watch. But anyway.
So what was it last night?
So everything was going fine. Everything was going swimmingly. We had a good meeting. We worked on encroachment for the base issues, worked on flooding issues, worked on stuff that, you know, work firefighter bonuses for the part-time / you know, the non-career guys, the volunteer firefighters, all good. And then we got to the very end. And Allison Rogers, the county attorney, up and says, Doug Underhill threatened me that he was going to ruin my reputation until I resigned over the 401A stuff. And Doug says, I didn't say that at all. You're lying. So she says he's lying. He says she's lying.
Oh.
And they wound up, in the course of about 4 minutes, voting to censure him, which, of course, it means nothing. It's like, we really dislike this very strongly, and so we're going to say that. But it's just, I mean, everything was going okay, and then all of a sudden, kaplowy. And I just think, I mean,
you just hate to see that publicly.
Yes.
That he says, she says, that just keeps going back and forth.
Yeah, well, and there's no way to know who's right. And I know both of these people very well. Normally what I would say is I trust them both. I would think neither one of them is stupid enough to either threaten an employee, as she's alleging Doug did, or to lie about being threatened, as he's alleging she did. It's just, it's nuts.
Well, and that is not good behavior for a public attorney. Taxpayer paid attorney, to be so unprofessional as to blurt something like that out. Ugh.
Well, she, you know, it's interesting because, you know, she said, I wouldn't normally.
Doesn't matter. I don't want to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about this business.
Yeah. Interesting. And I thought the same thing. I thought, would this not have been better suited in an email or in some, maybe even a shade meeting? I don't know if it's allowed to be done in a shade meeting, but some meeting with the county administrator and, you know, does this need to be done in public? And why was it done in public? And then how do you get a vote that quickly on censuring it's weird.
Yes.
It's definently weird.
Apparently that's a Scambia County course.
Well, we got to end on a happy note because it's going to be a beautiful weekend and there's lots to do in Pensacola.
Yay. Green flags
and we're grateful
at the beach.
To be here. So thank you, Andrew.
I'll take it. Diane, Nicole, thanks for the time this morning. I appreciate it.